Here we are, March 3rd, from the studio, the small little studio in Hazleton, North Dakota. And we are ready to roll this morning. Now, we are going to look at the book of Hebrews for a while. I suppose in some ways, you know, we all are tired of hearing about Timothy and Titus, how to do the walk to please God, you know, and the Christian walk, which really, I was thinking last night quite a bit here, and I was thinking, you know, we say we rightly divide the word of truth, King James Bible, which is a good way to state it. Because if it's not rightly divided, then it's profane and vain babblings. It's worthless. So you want to be doing the right thing here and saying the right thing. But to rightly divide the word of truth is not a complicated thing. You know, really, you start from Genesis and go to Revelation, it just all fits into order. Not chronological, but dispensational. And Old Testament, and you got God manifests himself in the flesh, so Jesus down to the earth, down to the Jews, and then you got him come after they killed him, and he rose again from the dead and went to the Jews one more time to see if they could get out to the world, and they through Peter, you know, a little bit there, and Stephen, and took care of that. Then he went to Paul, went to the Gentiles, and when they're done with the Gentiles, he's going to go back to the Jews, into the tribulation, and off into eternity, and that's how it fits. I mean, the book is in the right order. So it's not even difficult to pick up on that. One of the problems is we have most people today are not good readers. The devil has seen to the fact that kids today and adults today that were kids in the last 50 years, 100 years, have lost a lot of reading skills. They've attacked the English language, et cetera, et cetera. So to simply read through the book and get the stuff that's between the lines properly divided, pretty difficult, I guess, for most. The whole phonic reading thing. But I think people just get tired, like maybe even our own family, like I said. Maybe we're just tired of hearing all this stuff. I've been preaching a lot lately about Paul only. We all understand that. We've got a pretty good handle on that. And then we get into Timothy, you know, and Titus chapter 2, and the modesty thing and how we should behave as aged people and young women and young men, and it's there. I mean, that's just what Christians do. I don't think people had to make a big fuss about rightly dividing until the Great Commission came along and really became falsely taught as the gospel in the last probably 100 years, you know. So now we have to shake or shock people out of the Great Commission, back into the Christian part of the Bible, which is Paul's writings. I mean, it's not a complicated thing. But the way people deal with that is they combine Gospels and Paul's teachings and even throw in Peter and James and these guys, you know. We have a Bible club at the school here and on Wednesdays, and I saw the Bibles the kids were getting, and most of them didn't have a Bible. They had a Bible storybook as such. And I looked at him, we were talking about it a little bit, naturally, being very careful, of course. And, man, all those things are about all these great, great Old Testament stories, and then Jesus this and Jesus that, and here's this Paul guy, nice guy, but nothing's ever said about the risen Savior, the teachings after the risen Savior. It's all Old Testament doctrinal stuff, if it's even doctrinal stuff. It's just Old Testament stories, which we know until Jesus died does the New Testament begin. So, yeah, it's frustrating to see stuff like that going on. There really is a conspiracy against Paul's writings. There really is. Devil really does want to hinder Paul's teachings. Like I said, I don't think the devil cares that Jesus is taught, because that's to the Jews, which means nothing today to people other than it's historical. There's a lot to learn from it, as we will soon see here. But boy, when it comes down to Paul rightly dividing a King James Bible and the right edition, of course, and even that's dangerous nowadays. All right, Sam. The devil just doesn't want that to happen. And we know Romans 11:22, when it does happen, then the Gentiles will be cut off. They don't want to hear about it anymore. And Gentiles will be cut off onward and forward to the tribulation, of which we will not be part of. Okay, so we're going to get into Hebrews. Instead of the Paul stuff about the walk here, like I've been saying here, mumbling here with my rantings, from my bunny trails, we're going to look at this the book of Hebrews. Now, we've done it before quite a while ago, but we've learned a lot of understanding since we've last taken this book on. And I'm reading through it here over and over the last couple of weeks, just looking at it and thinking, man, this is really interesting stuff. There's no way Hebrews is written to us. Now, people really got to get the grip on this to us and for us, you know? If something's to us, it's for us. Well, yeah, right. So that's why we say this whole book, Genesis to Revelation, it's there for us. There's no doubt about it. It's there for us. But is it written to us? No, it is not all written to us. It's written for us. It's like if you take every book in the Bible and you put in there, Dear Mike Paulson. Oh, no, this is not written to me. Hebrews is not written to me. Hebrews is written to the Hebrews. And yet, as we'll see here, a lot of doctrine comes out from Hebrews. The pastors today use a lot of Hebrew doctrine because it puts a lot of guilt trip and it puts the fear of God. It puts the, again, back to the severity of God, fear into people. And that isn't what the risen Savior wants us to be teaching or learning or experiencing in these days, in these times. So, why study it? Well, there's some fantastic information in here about Jesus. Just simple. Well, it's in the Gospels. Well, sure it is. But boy, what Paul has to say to his brethren, the Jews, is it deep? I hate to use the word deep, but it sure is full. Marvelous stuff there. And the question, I guess, there's two questions that people or pastors or whoever they ask. Who wrote the book of Hebrews? They still fight over that thing. And when was it written? Well, think about it here. They make a big fuss that did Paul write Hebrews? Did Luke write Hebrews? Who wrote Hebrews? In fact, if you go to the last part of the last chapter of Hebrews, it says right there it was written by Timothy. If you have those kind of comments in your Bible, small, tiny print for old people not to see here, written to the Hebrews from Italy by Timothy. Also, Timothy wrote Hebrews? Well, no, but couldn't Timothy have been the one to write it down? He wrote it, but Paul is the one that was telling him what to write, and God was telling Paul what to write. I mean, that whole concept in there. I don't have a problem with that. For one thing, it says the epistle of Paul, the apostle to the Hebrews. I'm going to stick with that. So you've got these people that won't do Paul's books, Timothy, Titus, Thessalonians, Colossians, Philippians, Ephesians, Galatians, Corinthians, Romans, they won't do those books, Paul only. But when they get to Hebrews, they make a big fuss. Those can't be written by Paul. But, you know, they really hate Paul. They hate anything Paul has to say. So this conspiracy that was started way back in early Acts, I think it's Acts 20 or 13 or something like that, the conspiracy that these people had against this Paul guy continues to this day. Well, how can you say that? Because I consider myself a Paul guy. Now, I'm not a mid-ex Paul guy. I don't want to be a flaky Paul guy. I don't want to be a Paul and Peter and James guy. I don't want to be a Paul and Gospels guy. I want to be a Paul guy. I want to follow Paul as he follows Christ, the risen Savior. I want that. That's what I want to be. I'm a Christian. Christian today means nothing. The word Christian. All the news media does is make if you're a Catholic, you're a Christian. You're falling apart. No, the Catholic Church is falling apart. Suddenly this man who was infallible is no longer infallible, and they have to create another infallible guy. And we've got priests that can forgive people's sins while they're out there messing around with the little boys in their confessional rooms. So Christianity looks really bad to the world. Right, because see, that is not Christianity. So true Christianity is simply following your Bible. King James Bible, nothing else are Bibles, nothing else is the Word of God, nothing else is the gospel of their salvation, nothing else. So we get to this Hebrews book. It makes total sense that Paul's the guy that wrote it. If you go back to Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 9 and Hebrews chapter 11, Romans chapter 9, and Romans chapter 11, you see how much Paul really cares for his brethren. And Romans chapter 10, as far as that goes, 8, 9, and 10, 11. Or 9, 10, and 11. He really cares. Those are his brethren. He would go to hell for his brethren if they wouldn't. I mean, that's how much he cares for these people. I won't say that. I've said this before. Bob, Chris, Andrea, and Jonesy, and Stan, and Sam, and Daniel, and Great Greens, and Jeanette and Floyd, all you folks out there, Rick, all you guys, I'm sorry, but I wouldn't go to hell for you. That is just not my thing. I'm sorry. I will struggle and suffer financially. I will be tired, and I will do all this extra time, and I will study these things. I love teaching this stuff. Whenever the school thing gets bogging me down, I open up my book and my notes out and start reading up a sermon. It's a joy. It just gets me back to where I want to be 24 hours a day. But I still, just like Paul, I want to serve the law of God with my mind. I want to do the right thing. I want to learn this stuff with my flesh. It still serves the law of sin. It just does. I realize that we can't stop sinning, so Christ took care of sin. So now all things I do, all things are lawful. But then again, some of the stuff's going to burn up because it caused somebody to stumble. It was an occasion for my flesh. It wasn't expedient to do that, and it wasn't edifying to do that. And I had power over me. I couldn't help it. I had to have that thing. So, yeah, I got my judgment seat of Christ coming up. So, marvelous stuff. So, this Hebrews, it's just like Hebrews. Man, this is interesting. You know, James is easy to figure out. Starts right off the bat, and it says, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Well, that one isn't written to me, but it's there for me to learn from. And if we go to Peter, well, we know Peter's the apostle to the circumcision. So, but there's a lot of stuff there for me to learn what's coming up for these poor folks and what, you know. Then you get into John. Well, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, that's the same as capital Big John in the Gospels. He just carries that stuff further. And these guys are all to the Jews. Jude, same thing. These are all guys to the Jews. But what's it doing at the end of my Bible? Because God knows where to put these things in this final completed version, right, edition of this Word of God. I hate those words, versions and edition. This is the Word of God. This is how God preserved this thing and finished it up for us, because now that which is perfect has come. There it is, my Bible. And that knocks out speaking in tongues. That knocks out this God leading people by their hearts. And the Holy Spirit guiding them with all this knowledge. You got a Bible. It's in this Bible. Everything is in this book right here. So, we've got Hebrews to Jude. Tribulation book. No doubt. Has to be. Has to be. Has to be. Looking at Romans 9:11 again, we will see what, like the preliminary, what's going on here. What's up with the Jews today? Well, he does tell us, for example, Romans 11:25, that if we don't understand the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles, doctrinally and time-wise and the whole spiel, then we will be wise in our own conceits. We will think we got it together. We will be wise in our own conceits. We will think we are special. Us Gentiles. Well, he did this whole thing for the Gentiles. No, he didn't. He did it for the Jews, of which we're going to carry it on to the Gentiles and the rest of the world. Didn't work. If we understand this thing, now it's to the Gentiles through Paul, and Paul only. If you understand that, you won't be one of these modern, conceited Christians who thinks that God is blessing them physically because they are walking as sinless as they possibly can. That's just a bunch of baloney for Christians to think that. They are wise in their own conceits. So, Hebrews is there for us, but Hebrews is not written to me. Dear Mike, no, this is not. First verse, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Those guys are not my fathers. So, let's go through Hebrews for a while here and learn some fantastic things. Now, while we're going through this Hebrew stuff, let's keep track of a few things. You mean have a piece of paper and a pencil or pen? Sure, why not? A little bitty notebook, go down to Walmart and buy one of those cheap little notebooks, or go to some fancy office supply, get one of those quality notebooks, you know, that makes you feel so good with this nice, short little hardcover. I'm that way, you know, nice little notebook, you know, that just keeps you out to be ordered. Anyway, here are some things. As we go through Hebrews, let's keep track of, or let's watch for, words like trust. T-R-U-S-T. I would write that on the board now if I was doing a classroom. We would look for words like the church. Yes, the church. Well, see, if the church is mentioned in Hebrews, and we're part of the church, then all this, and there's church and the God, it's all, we're all one big happy church, so we can look at all the different books. No, not at all. But there is one church. That's not hard to figure that one out. We'll get to that as we go. The word covenant. That's going to pop up. We've got a lot of people out there that are covenant Christians. What is that? Well, we'll deal with it when we get to it. Priest. We see the word priest. Well, if the word priest is in there and we're all doing this thing, then we can have priests today. No. We'll deal with that. The blood of Christ talks about that. Yeah, he does. It's fascinating stuff in here. We wouldn't learn this stuff if it wasn't for Hebrews. It's not written to me, but it is there for me. Boy, if we could just get people to grasp that. They just think if it's for me, then it's to me. If it's to me, it's for me. What's the problem? What's the difference? There's a huge difference. Now, let me just, again, say it one more time for the record out there on the website here. You live in a big, massive apartment house complex like Mark does in Delaware, and the boss tells you to go down and get everybody's mail. Okay, so all the mail that's in that mailbox, it's all there for Mark to get. It's all there for him. So he gets it up, and he takes it home, and he goes up to his room, and he starts opening all this mail. And this mail is, you know, full of bills. Oh, and Mark is going nuts. I cannot pay all these bills. What is this? Well, Mark, or any, you know, whatever, those bills aren't to you. You take that mail out of that stash, that whole bag, and in that mail is specific letters to you. Those are the ones you grab. Those are the ones you open up. Those are the ones you deal with. But I'll tell you, if you could open up all that other mail, boy, you would sure learn a lot about all your tenants in your apartment complex, wouldn't you? You'd learn a lot of stuff about that lady down the street, that down the hallway, and that man over there across the street, and these kids, and, you know, you learn all sorts of stuff about these people. But none of that stuff's to you. So that's how this Bible is. So we're going to study a book that's not written to us, but there's a lot of good stuff in this book for us to learn. And keywords, trust, if, covenant, priest, blood, angels, rest, R-E-S-T, rest. And then just in general, let's look for things that deal with salvation. Let's look for things that actually are taught in the Great Commission era of today. You know, it's a funny thing. I mentioned Great Commission. A lot of people don't know what the Great Commission is. They've never heard of it. So these pastor guys, priest guys, whatever, ladies, whatever these people are, don't use the phrase Great Commission like they used to. They don't dare. They just teach what Jesus teaches. You know, Jesus loves everybody. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and he's there, he loves everybody. You know, go from there with sort of different things. And if you've got the risen, if you've got Jesus, then you can speak in tongues. You know, that proves that you got the real Holy Spirit, and God will give you things and give you knowledge and give you, and these pastors, they can, God will just give you something through these marvelous men of God today. And that's what's going on out there. And they'll be proven by signs and wonders and healings, various signs, various healings and various wonders and things based on denomination, which one is more blessed by God than the other. That's what we got. That is called religion. That is called religion. And like Paul, I despise it, and I want to destroy the magnificence of it, which in turn will destroy all my friends and family and income and health and everything. Okay. So, trust, if, covenant, priest, blood, rest, angels, looking for the church, Great Commission teachings that are being taught today, things about salvation and their salvation. See, let's just do a quickie here. The word if, and we'll point them out as we go. We get when we look at Hebrews, we see these phrases. If we hold fast the confidence, if you will hear his voice. Let's see here, some more here. If they shall fall away, if we sin willfully, if any man draw back, if ye endure in chastening. Endure chastening. Because see, you see the word if you do this, then there's also the other half. If you do not do this, then what are the consequences? See? Hebrews is not written to us. It's written to the Jews. It's written to the people during the times of the tribulation. And if you want to be part of that crowd out there, probably a small crowd, I guess, that believes that, well, we've already had the last days, we've already had the tribulation, and we are now into the millennium. Serious? You think the world out there right now, this is the millennium? Obviously, you haven't read what the millennium is going to be. You know, time of rest, da-da-da-da. I mean, you haven't read about the millennium, have you? Because there is no way, as they say in God's Green Acres, that this is the millennium. There's just no way. What about those that think, well, then we're into the tribulation. We're already in the tribulation because the church is going to go through the tribulation, so we are in the tribulation. Well, it's obvious you have not read about the tribulation, have you? You haven't read Hebrews through Jude and try to actually apply those today. Now, you got pastors that are teaching it. But, come on, look closer at your scriptures. Sure, we are seeing things that got tribulation smell to them. But it's not all happening yet. Boy, we're having trouble on the internet out there, aren't we? People coming and going, kind of losing their signals and stuff like that. Mark, I'm going to let you take over the data thing. Sorry, I kept taking that away. So the red dots, I put my screen down to pay attention here, for myself, I mean. And the reason I say this about people think we're into the tribulation or people think we're into the millennium, because Paul says in verse 2, he says, hath in these last days. Well, it's obvious that Paul was waiting. He knew the last days were coming. And he wanted to talk to the Jews and teach the Jews that, you know, in a few minutes or a few days or whatever, this is your stuff. You got to do that stuff now. So if Paul was telling that to the people then we certainly can't be in the last days today, so we must be in the millennium. Now, I have not read any of the millennial believing people. I have never read any of their stuff. Just like I had never read any of the mid-Acts people, the hyper dispensationalists. I never read any of their stuff. for years after I got into this Paul stuff. I don't like to read other people's stuff. I like to just read my Bible. So I can see where somebody would go, well, look at that. Paul's in these last days. This is when Paul was already there for the last days. He was, tribulation's over with, yes, this is the millennium. Oh, please, if this is the millennium, I am greatly disappointed. This is the millennium, man. This is really disgusting. But think about it. Tribulation, world government, world religion. Got to knock down America. Got to have peace and safety. Got to get rid of the guns. The economy's got to crash. We got to go into so much debt to come up with a new money system. That would be called the 66. Oh, it's just coming around. You got to take a mark. But see, we don't have to take that mark yet. It has not all been established yet. So, boy, we must be getting close, though. Yeah, we got these earthquakes in weird places, but not a whole lot of them yet. We got a couple tsunamis, you know. And people can say, well, God went out there to destroy the Hindus and the Buddhists. No, that day's coming yet. God's tribulation is the worst thing we've ever seen. This stuff has happened before. You know, so it's nothing huge yet. But it's sure working its way up. You know, a little earthquake in California where California just breaks in half and millions are dead. That could be an issue. I'm not sure the insurance companies can bounce out of that one. Or the whole string of volcanoes along the west coast, plus the San Andreas Fault, all going one weekend. That could cause a real challenge, you know. And it certainly wouldn't be global warming causing that to happen. So whatever. Oh, what an introduction here. Okay. Now there's two other words I want you to watch for as we go through this thing. And that is the prepositions, if I know my grammar right, which I may not. Therefore and wherefore. Therefore, wherefore. Therefore is showing that what was written before will give meaning to what's written after the word therefore. So here's all the stuff for you to read. Then he pops in the word therefore, then we go into this stuff. It all ties together. Wherefore, for what reason was that said? What's the explanation? They're very similar, but they're very different. So we'll watch for those things as we go into this stuff. Now, what time we got here? We got time. I always forget to turn on my timer. Oh, well. Let's go to Romans chapter 9. I thought we were doing Hebrews. We are. We will do Hebrews. But in order to understand, to me, in order to really be able to understand and enjoy and realize what Hebrews is all about, we need to know Romans 9 through 11. Now, I'm not going to read, just sit here and read for the next 20 minutes, 9 through 11. And I know you've all read through it before, but you need to read through it again. You just sit down and just read about Paul and his thoughts towards the Jews. And you'll find some good foundational stuff. See, if I started to read through 9, 10, 11, we'd be in these three books for a while. Wouldn't even get to Hebrews. So, we can see this in Romans chapter 10, for example. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And we get into Acts, you know, he's talking to these people in Rome, the Mars Hill, unknown God, you worship an unknown God. The Jews are famous for that. They have no idea what they're doing. But see, let's keep in mind, if you are going to a church where you are taught the marvelous and wonderful gospels as written to you, you're actually becoming a Jew in your belief in lots of ways. Well, I know we're spiritual Jews. Romans talks about that. But that doesn't mean we follow the Jewish teachings. all goes down to Abraham, which we'll learn as we get into this thing. But you're following Jewish directions. If you're studying the Gospels and trying to, like, let live, for example, the Beatitudes, you can't do the Beatitudes. He's not even asking you to do the Beatitudes. He's not telling you to do the Beatitudes. He's telling the Jews, when Jesus was down there, to look at those Beatitudes. If we were to take the time, which we won't do, at least not yet, we've done it before, study the Beatitudes. Well, there's things in the Beatitudes, there's no way, we cannot do them. And they don't work if you do them. I remember at the county fair booth in Walla Walla many years ago, a lady came up and started yapping about the Beatitudes, and I got to thinking, I better study those Beatitudes. There's something wrong with those things. And I sat down at the booth. I just read through the Beatitudes with my mind clear, knowing I'm looking to Paul only. What's the difference here? Oh, man, those things just didn't make sense at all as far as today. Not at all. So, I got a couple sermons out there on the Beatitudes. If you can find them, type in Beatitude in the search, and you'll realize that you just can't do these things, you know? And they can't either. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Yet Paul says in Galatians, your faith in Christ is what makes you a child of God. We got a conflict there. There's conflicts all over the place. The right eye offended, he'd pluck it out. Come on. How come we all got eyes? None of us should have eyes. So you go read through this thing, this 4, 5, 6, and 7, 8 of Matthew and stuff, you know. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You believe that today? See? Well, we don't believe that one. What are you, a Catholic that picks and chooses what you believe and what you agree with? You know? So, anyway. So these guys, they're ignorant of God's righteousness, and it goes on in chapter 10, Romans chapter 10. Paul talks about Moses. Well, Moses is, he's that crowd. And in 11, fantastic chapter, Romans chapter 11. If you haven't read it, do so. If you've read it, read it again. If you want to get some good foundational thoughts of the direction we're going to go here. I mean, Romans chapter 11, verse 8. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear, unto this day. Go back to verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. There's your parentheses. Notice there's no period after verse 7. Unless your Bible has a period there. If it does, I wonder who put that in there. But anyway, their eyes are darkened in verse 10. And then verse 11. Through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles. See? The only reason he's dealing with us is because the Jews fell, and he says he wants to provoke them to jealousy. Well, the teachings today don't provoke anybody to jealousy. Well, if you live a perfect life, then God will bless you. Who wants to live a sinless, perfect life? Come on, Christians out there. Don't tell me you do. You wouldn't be wearing what you wear. You wouldn't be talking the way you talk. You wouldn't be working where you work. You ladies, you wouldn't be working. And the children, you would be teaching your kids at home. Oh, I mean, the list goes on and on. Don't tell anybody, don't tell me that you want to live that Christian life, because you don't. The Jews couldn't do it when the law was on them, and if they didn't do it, God would kill them. They didn't do it then. They didn't do it during the gospel days when Jesus was there in front of them. They killed him. They didn't do it during the Great Commission. They killed the preacher. They hated Paul for what he taught, and he taught a fantastic, fantastic message. They're not going to do it during the tribulation either, but they're going to have to. But during the tribulation, they got the Spirit of God upon their flesh, Acts chapter 2. So they will be able to do it. They will actually be able to walk the law. They will actually be able to not take the mark when they're going to have to. They're going to be able to put up with all that persecution. They're going to have to, but they're going to be able to because they got the Spirit of God upon their flesh. And Jesus' teachings to teach them what to do is right. Are they going to do it? Not from what I've read. Some will, not very many. Man, some of those guys are going to be killed down the street, put on TV, and then they're going to come up, they're going to come alive and go up to the sky. This guy's going to be an event. But in the meantime, they got this Christ coming down from the sky, Revelation chapter 6, and everybody's going to think this guy is going to fix the economy, because that's all people care about is money. Which I'm close to that anymore. That seems to be our survival mode. All the religions are going to be happy, all going to come together, you know. Oh, it's amazing what's going on. I just got to kind of rambling. Okay, let's go back here. If we go to Romans 11 again, Romans 11:14, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. So what Paul teaches in Hebrews is all him in Romans 9:10-11 trying to get this stuff to these people that he cares for. And you read that stuff. Well, kind of a bunny trail here. It's not really a bunny trail, but it's a different thing going on here. You get down to 22, that's where he's talking about, you know, the Jews had the severity of God. But the Gentiles, we got the goodness of God. And as soon as the Gentile nation is tired of hearing and living the goodness of God, he will cut off the Gentiles and boom, we go into the tribulation. I'm sorry, they go into the tribulation. So when we read Hebrews we're reading what Paul is teaching to the Jews that they're going to have to turn to and stand by during the tribulation. And if they do, they will have their salvation. And if they don't, they won't have their salvation. It's based on their faith, their works, but Christ will be there to help them through it. He will chastise those that he loves and cares for to get them back on the trail. If he doesn't care for you, then Paul says, then you're a bastard. You're not one of his children. But he's not teaching that to us today. And if you get a hold of that whole thing, suddenly the church you're going to is nothing but a bunch of hypocritical, lying people, lying pastors, being fleshed up with music, being fleshed up with gain and numbers, and who cares what the Bible says? We have the family from such and such singing for us today, and please give your money, because if you don't, God won't bless you, and do what I say, because God will, you know, chastise you if you don't, and the thing goes on and on. You will wise up that your church is the last place in the world you need to be at. You mean I got to put up with this internet sermon stuff? No, you've got a Bible. Read the thing, rightly divide that thing, and your life will change. Not because God changes it, but because you change it. Not because God's going to chastise and get you if you don't. You're going to change your life because, like he says in Romans 12, it's the reasonable thing you could do considering what he's done for us. And most of us go, well, man, it's just so hard these days. We got problems. We got the money thing. We got time. We got our job. We got the horrible economy, the horrible country, all these laws and against this and against that. Yeah, well, nobody said it was going to be easy. Matter of fact, Paul says you're going to be persecuted for it. There goes your family. There goes your friends. There goes your wife. There goes your husband. There goes your kids. In some cases, there goes your job. There goes your income. All these things you thought God was blessing you with suddenly disappeared. And how come God doesn't make you change your life? He never has. We have to do it ourselves. But if we follow Paul, we will realize what we need to change. And if you don't change it, you don't lose your salvation. God's not going to chastise you. Oh, wait a minute. We have what was called the judgment seat of Christ. That's where that stuff comes up. Why would God chastise you now and then burn it again in the trip in the during the judgment seat of Christ. So anyway, oh, I'm just rambling. I know. I've always said, even back in Tucci, if we get a visitor in church, you can expect me to review most of our stuff, because they're going to sit there and go, what are you talking about? So that happened. And I know there's going to be visitors that listen to this sermon or this teaching, what do you want to call this talk, on the internet somewhere else. So we always have visitors when we do this thing. Okay, so get back on trail here. Romans chapter 11 is where we are. We're introducing ourselves to Hebrews. We see in verse 25, that great verse, that we're not to be ignorant of this mystery. What mystery is that? That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Because if you're ignorant of that mystery, then you're going to be wise in your own conceits. Okay? And we know the fullness of the Gentiles is in verse 22 when they're tired of hearing from Paul. Because Paul's the only one, the only apostle, that preaches the goodness of God. We look at verse 28 as concerning the gospel, which we know is Paul's gospel, Paul's teachings, which includes the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, no doubt. They're enemies. They don't want to hear that stuff. But they're still beloved for the Father's sakes. God still loves them. You go down the depth of riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God. You know, you read all this stuff. Fantastic. I mean, it just sets the tables for Hebrews. Now, if that wasn't too much, oh, it's 10-2, is it quarter to? Let's touch Hebrews just for a second here. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 1. Oh, I better do something really quick like here, see if it comes up. Hang on, we're coming, folks, before we get started here. I'm going to make sure I say it correctly. Okay. Sundry means several, more than one or two. Okay? So God, here we go. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, many different ways, many different times. Well, why don't you just have your Bible say many different ways and many different times? Just come up with a new King James Bible that's easier to understand. No, we don't need that. We just need to learn what sundry means and diverse means. God wrote it the way God wants it written. It's just that simple. Quit dinging with it out there, publishers and people. Even the King James Bibles are hard to trust anymore. Okay. So God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Well, that's why we read the Old Testament. We learn this stuff. We know what God said to the fathers and the prophets, by the prophets. We can read that. We don't just have to accept that statement. We can go back and read all the things God said to his people. All the things he told those prophets to tell those people. And when they didn't do it, whoa, they had a bad day. Okay? God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, comma, hath in these last days, so we know this isn't written to Gentiles during the times of the Gentiles. He's written this to Jews because he's saying these are the last days. Well, obviously, according to God, the way he put this Bible together, he put this stuff towards the back of the King James Bible. Why? Because it's after Paul's time with the Gentiles. We're now going into the Jewish times again, which, you know, Laodicean church, hour of temptation, Daniel chapter 11, Revelation 4 through 19, 18 and such. So these last days, we got this burst of Paul to the Gentiles in the middle of going from the Gospels to Peter to the Jews to the tribulation. We got this dispensation of grace that God puts in. Nobody knew about it in the past. Nobody knew it was coming. He puts that into that which is perfect, that Bible which is finished, perfect. So now we know that this is applicable to the last days. But we also know that we haven't had the last days yet. We also know that the last days are getting closer. So when they come, this is not to me. This is for me, I suppose, to tell those that will be in it what's coming. And I tell you, one of the hardest things for me to teach as a public school music teacher is I believe these kids, we get Catholic kids, Lutheran kids, Methodist kids, we got no church kids, we got just kids. These guys, there's no doubt to me that they will not have the freedoms we have. They will not have the guns that we have to keep the freedoms. They will not have a King James Bible. They already don't. And the churches they go to are prepping these guys for the coming of the Antichrist, Revelation chapter 6, not the real Christ, Revelation chapter 19. We know what's going on. And boy, it's tough to find the time to slip those little seeds in there and see if you can't help something. But it's, I tell you. So, hath in these last days, so this is tribulational stuff. This is coming up. This is to the Jews. This is to, T-O, the Jews, for, F-O-R, me. Hath in these last days spoken unto us, Paul, Jews, not us, Jews, by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down in the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Ooh, that's quite a sentence. Try to diagram that thing, grammar scholars. Okay, well, we know Paul is always, he's great at always throwing in the greatness of God, the beauty of God, the grace of God, the love of all. He's so good at just, and when he mentions Jesus, he doesn't just say his name. He, you know, the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord Christ. Then he always pops in something that's just another glorying of the Savior. Paul's good at that. That's why Paul's sentences are so long. He spends most of his sentence praising God with what he's saying. Then he pops in a little fact, you know. So, his Son, he's heir of all things, and we know that he made the world. We know that from Colossians, right? If we go to Ephesians or Colossians, let's go back and check it out here. Colossians, actually I think it's Ephesians. Let's go back to Ephesians, I think it's chapter 3. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. I think it's right around 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Come on, I know it's in here somewhere. Yes, Ephesians 3, 9. We know Paul taught to the Gentiles, Ephesians 3, 9. Pages are flipping. Pew, 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 pew. And we are talking about Hebrews, where he said, by whom also he made the world. Let's talk about the Savior there, Son of Christ, Son of Jesus Christ. Verse 9 says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That's Paul's goal, ministry. From which the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. So nobody knew about this, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So yeah, Jesus Christ is the one that made everything. By the way, in case you don't know this, I think most of you do, by Jesus Christ is taken out of all other Bibles. So their Bibles will say something like, you know, God who created all things. So here we go. We were in St. Helens a number of years ago, Mount St. Helens. We were at this museum or this science place. This is a Christian place, talks about creation. And a marvelous place to visit, by the way, to watch how a volcano can blow sideways and what it did to that area. It's fantastic study and how it so disproves evolution and the whole thing. It's a fantastic place to visit. Although most of the time you go to visit there, it's foggy and you can't see it. Anyway, those of you that were with us when we did that, remember it was pouring rain and the ranger wouldn't let us have a campfire in case we started a fire. It was hilarious. Irritating, but hilarious. Okay, so here these people are that believe in the creation, And Jesus Christ is their Savior, so they say, but they use a Bible that takes away the fact that Jesus Christ was the Creator. I mean, He was the one that created everything. Their very Bible takes out, created all things by Jesus Christ. And then Hebrews says the same thing. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. So God made everything by Jesus Christ, and their Bible doesn't say that to them. So they're using a Bible that actually takes away Christ out of creation when they believe in creation. Yeah, just amazing stuff. Just amazing stuff. Who's blinded? Man, the Gentiles are as blind as anybody. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Well, hang on a second here. I got a note I want to look up here. Colossians 1:15. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Colossians 1:15 says that Christ is the image of the invisible God. So there we go, see? See, here's one of the things that people got to realize. There's a lot of fantastic stuff in the Gospels that Jesus taught to the Jews. Okay? No doubt. So we need to go to the Gospels to learn those things and be able to tell if we should apply them or not? No. If God wanted some of that stuff that was taught in the Gospels, if He wanted some of that taught to the Gentiles, Paul will say it in his books. We don't have to go back picking and choosing through the Gospels. Just like Hebrews to Jude. If there's something that God is going to tell the Jews for the tribulational times that He wants us to know today, Paul will tell us in Paul's books. Here's the express image of His person. Well, Paul teaches us that in Colossians. So we don't have to go to Hebrews to Jude to find stuff that maybe might apply to me today. Because how do you know that when you see a verse that says this, if they shall fall away, or if we sin willfully, or if any man draw back, if ye endure chastening, because if you don't, God's done with you. You're history. You're done. Well, we don't pick those out. Well, why not? Maybe you should. No, they're not written to us. See what I'm saying? Everything God wants us to learn as Gentiles, they're in Paul's books. And some of that stuff will be repeated in Hebrews to Jude, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because He wants the Jews to learn that thing too. But we get our teaching assignments from Paul. Okay. Let's finish this up here for this morning. And upholding all things by the word of His power. Isn't that by the word of His power? When He had by Himself purged our sins. Well, so He did it. He did it for the Jews. He did it for the Gentiles. He didn't just blanket clean everybody like the Brotherhood of God people. Well, there's nobody lost on God. When Christ rose from the dead, he got rid of all sin for all people. No, He got rid of the law for those that believe is what He got rid of. So, sure, He purged Himself for our sins, our meaning the Jews, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, and they killed Him. That's what they did. Anyway, we'll stop right there because it gets into the angel thing, which is really cool, you know, just angel stuff, because we got people thinking they got their little pocket angel, you know, in their little pocket, their little guardian angel. Where do they get that from? Hebrews. Not the fact that it's in your pocket, but I mean, you know, ministering, whatever. Okay, so we will stop there right now. I will say goodbye to the website crowd.